We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're taking a trip through the NFC South today, and this hour we're zeroing in on the Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To help us out, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times joins us. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm hoping we don't get too hit by that storm that's coming. I know you've seen a lot worse in New Orleans, but it seems early in the year for that. But I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely want everybody to stay safe and stay dry as much as possible in the coming weekend. The Buccaneers are returning just about everybody from last year. This is something we don't often see from a Super Bowl champion, but the entire coaching staff, basically the entire roster, all 22 starters, they're all coming back. And my first question for you is, this is a Buccaneers team that didn't win the division last year, but they did get hot at the right time and win the Super Bowl. Are the Buccaneers the odds-on favorite in your mind to take home the NFC South crown next season?
Well, if they're not, I think they're in the wrong business because, you know, what they did last year was pretty remarkable. And I don't think you can dismiss the Saints because the fact is that they haven't won the division. The Bucs have not. The Saints have won it four straight years. We know how good that football team is. We know how good Sean Payton is. I think he's, you know, something like 8-1 without Drew Brees at quarterback the last couple of years. So that's not to be ignored. And I think the Bucs realize that. It's a little bit of unfinished business for them, but they are the defending Super Bowl champs, and I don't think they're gonna fear anyone. You know, it's interesting. You know, when you look back now at Tom Brady and starting, you know, with the Bucs there in New Orleans, how little he knew. He was literally did not know many plays. He had the wristband pretty much the whole year, and when he went to New Orleans, he was still trying to spit the plays out, you know, on the bus and going through those conversations with Bruce Arians and Clyde Christensen. So they've come a long way since then. And, you know, it's not automatic, obviously. He had a knee issue. He's had surgery on that. But every year is different, and you guys know that.
Right.
So you can't count on it on just repeating.
Now, Rick, you talk about the beginning of the season. You know, the Saints beat them by double digits, and they crush Tampa Bay in Tampa. One of the most impressive wins I've ever seen under Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And basically, Tampa Bay kicked the field goal so he wouldn't get shut out. But what I notice about the Buccaneers compared to the beginning, boy, it just seemed like their offensive line got better. There was more stability there. And then Tristan Wirfs compared, you know, you're a rookie, you know, you're trying to live up to expectation, number one draft pick. And he was not only at a Pro Bowl level, but all pro that I thought at the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he was the best right tackle in football last year. And he got baptized by fire. You know, that started in practice going against JPP and those guys and Shaq Barrett, but also going to New Orleans. You know, that was a tough assignment. The guy gave up one sack the entire year. That's just remarkable. And I think he will be better. Look, I mean, you know, again, the defense grew up as well, right? Let's not minimize what those guys did. They got much better, especially with Devin White. I think he emerged as a budding superstar in this league. You know, those defensive backs became much more active in attacking receivers, and Sean Murphy bunting and Jamal Dean and
Antoine Winfield Jr. Come on, he was a ball hog. I mean, just run support or forcing fumbles. I mean, all that.
Exactly. Yeah, they really grew up on the back end, and then you know, the front four. I mean, they have some older players there, and they're going to have to hope that those guys can still be productive at an age when many players are not. They're trying to get some guys, you know, behind them as well. But like I said, I think this team at 7-5 was at a crossroads. They lost three games in a row, including back-to-back to the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs at home. And then they got a bye week, and I think that bye week helped them. What you saw in addition to the offensive line play, Bobby, was, you know, they gave Tom Brady what he needed, more play action, more of a commitment to the run game, more pre-snap motion to give him some of those cues. And when they kind of incorporated some of those things into Bruce Arians' offense, I think that's when they started to click.
Now, you know, Rick, when you look at, like, superstars or household names and you follow the game, is it pretty much Tom Brady that maybe a running back, we're familiar with him because of LSU, like Leonard Fournette would give a hometown discount to want to be with a winner. I mean, I'm a Ronald Jones fan, but I look at Leonard Fournette. You look at Antonio Brown. I mean, disgruntled, why would you want him on the team that all of a sudden he wants to be part of Tampa Bay? And then you look at Rob Gronkowski coming out of, you know, retirement. Is that all Tom Brady? It seems like Tom Brady has a lot to do with that.
Oh, there's no question. Listen, you know, when you have a player that has accomplished what he has and he understands sort of what or who he needs, you know, he's not making the personnel decisions per se. But with Rick Gronkowski, obviously, I don't think Rob comes out of retirement to play for anybody. I think that was definitely Brady's influence. Fournette, to some degree, he was amenable to that because we know Leonard's a good player. Although, at one point, listen, you know, after the Minnesota game, he was inactive late in the year, and Bruce Arians sat him down and didn't like his attitude. Ronald Jones was the starter. Right. Leonard wasn't getting to play a lot, and he said, hey, what do you want me to do? I'll release you. If you want me to, I'll release you today. And I think Fournette had sort of a change of attitude. I don't know that there was a big market this year for anybody, particularly running backs, because there wasn't a lot of money in the system. So, you know, he got a break. You know, Ronald Jones got hurt. He became playoff Lenny and then Lombardi Lenny. And so,
right.
You know, they're going to have to learn how to coexist. And now you add Giovanni Bernard, who they absolutely needed a pass-catching running back that Brady feels that he's comfortable with. So, yeah, Tom Brady is going to get what Tom Brady needs. But the biggest thing is he had some pretty good players to begin with, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Cam Brayton.
How about Scotty Miller?
Scotty Miller. Yeah.
Rick, when I look at Scotty Miller, boy, talk about, boy, you better watch it. He'll run right past you. I mean, here's a sixth-rounder, 2019. Bang for your buck. Boy, I'm a big Scotty Miller fan.
No doubt. And he made big play after big play. And, you know, those guys buried their egos. It's hard at the receiver position. They get labeled as divas a lot. You don't have that here in Tampa Bay. I mean, you bring in a guy halfway through the season like Antonio Brown, how many wide receivers like Mike Evans with what he's accomplished would say, yeah, that's cool. Let him take some balls away from me. Or Scotty Miller go to the bench, essentially, at that point. You know, and I think these guys were driven to win a Super Bowl. That's what it takes. And, you know, you didn't have the drama. So, you know, they'll have Brown for 17 games this year. So maybe that changes the dynamic. But I'm with you. I thought Miller, you know, made the biggest plays of the year, including in the NFC Championship game.
Now, you know, Rick, when you look at edge rusher, obviously always trying to influence the quarterback, you can talk about the D-line and getting up in age. But what is your take, Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, what he turned, 32, I want to say, bringing in the new year. So where are they at? Now you look at the upcoming draft, you get the linebacker, I want to say from Washington, if I got that correct.
Yeah, but, Joe Tryon.
Yeah, so what have you seen out of him? Is he in part of the rotation, ready to contribute? I mean, because, look, the Saints, we can't even go watch him, you know, in OTAs or any minicamp. You know, that's kind of off limits. So where are you at in Tampa in that regard?
Well, Joe Tryon had a little bit of an arthroscopic surgery, you know, after the draft. And so he didn't get to participate in the rookie mini camps. He did participate in the mandatory mini camp. Those guys aren't on pads. I'll say this about Joe. He looks like he's carved out of stone. I mean, he's a Marvel comic book character body, but a bright guy whose story is very similar to Tristan Wirfs, raised by a single mom, just overachieved at everything he did. Found his way to Washington, and he opted out, you know, last year because of COVID. They weren't sure in the Pac-12 what they were doing for the longest time. But this guy's going to be put in the rotation, and look who he gets to learn from, right? Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, who learned from all those guys, and Von Miller and those guys out in Denver. So I think it's a similar situation where he's just going to add, you know, put his hand in the pile and add to that pass rush.
Now, you know, Rick, when I look at this, Adamakin Sue, that's a household name if you follow football. Now, if you truly follow football, Vita V, I thought that was significant all of a sudden when he came back ready to roll, especially, you know, to me, he was like kind of what the Saints counted on Malcolm Brown. You know, we got Malcolm Brown on the Patriots to stop the run. They do all the dirty work. Then all of a sudden you look, oh, well, they ranked top two or three in the NFL stopping the run. Well, Vita V to me is one of those kind of guys. You might hear Adamakin Sue, but Vita V to me was significant.
Well, and I think Vita has benefited from Sue. I think that's why Sue is here, who's still a really good player in his own right. You know, when you put that kind of size inside, right, it takes about four hands to occupy those guys. They absolutely can push the pocket. I mean, getting Vita Vea back for the NFC Championship game after he broke his leg in Chicago with that gruesome injury, are you kidding me? What a gift for the Tampa Bay Bucs to be able to play him against Green Bay. He played 33 snaps all on passing downs, didn't record a stat, but you know what he did? He pushed the pocket so much that Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul got one-on-ones, and they accounted for five sacks in that game of Aaron Rodgers. So that's the impact that Vita Vea had both in the championship and the Super Bowl, where they chased Patrick Mahomes some 500 yards around the field. So I really think that you're right. This guy is a Pro Bowl talent. He's got to stay healthy, but he's very difficult to handle both against the run and in the pass.
Now, Rick, Bob, when you look at the tight end position, you know, potential. A lot of people got potential. You got to live up to those expectations. Where do you think, like O.J. Howard, where is he at maybe? You look at Gronkowski, you look at – it was all like, man, it's only one football. You got – when I'm looking at Cameron Brait, you got O.J. Howard, you got Gronkowski. But where is O.J. Howard? Is he ready to take that next step?
Well, unfortunately for O.J., who has never really been hurt during his college career, since he's been in Tampa Bay, he's had some injuries. He's had some ankle injuries, guys falling on him, not really his fault. Last year was the worst. He was off to a tremendous start. They were playing the Los Angeles Chargers, and they got behind significantly, but he had one of his better games. They were coming back. The guy was running a slant route near the goal line. Brady looked at him, and he fell. He just slipped, or so it seemed. And then he went back, you know, to the running back, Keyshawn Vaughn, who scored the go-ahead touchdown. Well, they carted O.J. Howard off the field. He tore his Achilles. He ruptured it. And it was the saddest thing in the world, because he had put so much into the offseason, had spent so much time with Tom Brady, and was really showing up in big spots for them. Had a great game that day as well in the touchdown. So what he has done is he worked the offseason really, really hard. He should be ready for training camp. I think when you have the game taken away from you the way he did, you have a new appreciation for everything about it. His focus will be laser. I think physically he'll be in great shape. It's still a dramatic injury to come off of, but he's taking the time to do it. And I think you just add him to the mix. I mean, look, Rob Gronkowski early in the season last year, I remember they were playing one team, and he played 55 snaps and he blocked on 54 of them. So all these guys realize that, you know, they some days you're going to get the ball and some days you're not. And they've learned to share it. And I just think it makes you a better team when you have that many guys going on.
Now, Rick, you know, because it's the NFC South, and listen, I just appreciate greatness and a great achievement. I mean, more than any other player in Buccaneers' recent history, let's say in the 21st century, how can you not be a Levante David fan? I mean, all putting, plugging away, putting skins on the wall. You talk about the linebacking core. You know, we're familiar with Devin White, but Levante David, what he's done and his accomplishments year in and year out, to me, speaks volumes. He's one of the greatest linebackers in NFL history. I'm not just talking about what he's done with Tampa Bay. He has truly been that productive.
Yeah, he has. You know, over 1,000 tackles, and he's on an arc that would rival Derek Brooks if he plays a number of seasons longer. But I'm glad you mentioned. You know, the greatest thing about what the Bucs were able to accomplish is when you go through 12 seasons without making the postseason, you're sort of anonymous in the NFL. I know people that know football know these guys, but they got to be on the big stage, right? They had 5 national TV games. They didn't do well in them during the regular season. But when you're in the postseason, that's when you make a name for yourself. And I think Lavonte David was able to do that along with Devin White in that defense. It was great to see him get the recognition, the opportunities that are coming to him off the field. And how about this? The guy has probably made, I don't know, $75 million or something like that at this point.
Yep.
He made a promise to his mom that he would graduate. This is a kid that went to Miami Northwestern High School, one of the greatest high school football teams of all time. Didn't make grades, had to go to out to Kansas and Fort Smith. I think he played with JPP out there in junior college, went to Nebraska 2 years. He went back just this past year and graduated with a degree in criminology from the University of Nebraska, just because he made that promise, and his foundation helps kids with grades and helps them get to college and things like this. So in addition to a terrific player, I wish you knew him as a guy, because he's even a better guy, and I'm happy for Lavonte David.
Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. As always, we thank you so much for your input, and we look forward to the football season.
All right, yeah, thanks,
Rick. I hope
I get
to talk to you guys again, and you got a quarterback I'm familiar with up there in Jameis Winston, too. We'll have a chat about him one day.
Right quick, though. I can't believe we didn't ask you about Jameis. You think a great opportunity for him, obviously, with Sean Payton?
It's undoubtedly a great opportunity. I think the key for Jameis is that, you know, he'll have to humble himself. I think he did going into New Orleans as a number three, learning the game from Drew Brees. You know, he's not a quick twitch decision maker necessarily, and that was the biggest thing he needed to work on. He needs to understand his role in winning football games, not that he has to make every play or the big play. If he can manage that, he's as talented and he works as hard as anybody. I think his ability to stretch the ball down the field is going to actually open up that New Orleans offense in ways they haven't had in several seasons. So don't discount Jameis. I know his drive and determination is off the chain. I know these guys respect him and know him very well. He just has to manage protecting the football.
Let me ask you before we let you go, what kind of reception do you think Jameis Winston will get if he's the starting quarterback for the Saints when they play in Tampa this year?
It'll be incredibly mixed. I mean, you know, because of the situation at Florida State, what all that happened, you know, at his college career, he was one of the most polarizing picks the Bucs ever had. And it stayed that way pretty much throughout his season. Half the fan base loved him. Half of them didn't really care for him. And I think it'll be similar to that. But, you know, how fan bases always root for the team.
Right.
The name in the front of the jersey, not the back. So they won't boo him necessarily. Some might. But there's a lot of Jameis Winston fans down here, and he still lives in Tampa.
Rick Stroud, the Tampa Bay Times. Thanks again.
Take care, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.